Dear Father, as we open your word and seek your face, your grace and your peace, we ask you please be with us now. Forgive us, guide us, bless me, Lord. Help me to speak the word that you've given this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. About a week and a half ago or so, I was sleeping in bed, and it was about 2 in the morning, I found out afterwards. I shifted and rolled over a little bit and moved the covers and changed position, and I felt something touching the skin of my back that felt damp. And so I reached my hand back there, lower part of my back, and I put my hand on something and I thought, that's a frog. And so I grabbed it and I threw it against the wall and I jumped up on the bed and just kind of one move like a surfer would make to get up on his board, you know, and reached over, flipped the light on, and the covers had gotten thrown to in my, my haste to get away from the frog. And I pulled the covers back to take a look at the varmint, and as I did, I noticed it really wasn't animal. It was more the mineral vegetable variety. What it was a rolled up banana peel. What had happened is that my first wife, Leslie, had been reading in bed and been eating a banana and rolled the thing up and somehow, some way had lost track of the peel, distracted by her readings, and it had been left there. That's the story, anyway. For me to find about 2, but the adrenaline surge, I was up till 4. Just could not get back. And I'm not sleeping so great anyways these days. I just have a trouble staying asleep. So once I get woken up in the middle like that, it's hard for me. And apparently I've been told I snore. That might have something to do with the frog. The snoring is annoying. Not so much for me. I don't really notice. So I went to see my doctor, who recommended me on to an ear, nose, and throat person. Who said, well, the first thing we need to do is to have a sleep study done. You know, it's where you go into one of those sleep labs and they monitor you and see what it is exactly that's wrong with you and why you're not sleeping well. I didn't want to do that, but, you know, I'm a man, I can do it. I can do anything and try to fix this problem, face it head on, all that kind of thing. So I go in, the appointment was made, and I went to this sleep study, and it was supposed to arrive a little bit before 9 o'clock. And they take you into the room that you're going to be sleeping in, and they start setting you up. And they put these monitor things on you. And I understand they have to do some of that kind of thing. So they stick first a little thing on your finger to monitor your oxygen. That's no big deal. It's got a little wire running to it. That's not so hard. But then they take 2 belts. The first belt they put on, it's around your chest, but under your armpits like this, and then another one around your middle. And you think about that for sleeping. Go home, put on a belt around your armpits, and then another one around your middle, and then go hop in bed and see how good you're going to do. These belts they've got their own measuring things on them, and then they run the wires through them too, because there's a lot more wires. It's not just the finger thing. See what came next here. I've got my lips. Oh, the calves. Yeah, that's the calves. That's right. They have these long wires that come down through the belts, and they attach them to your calves, and there's little electrodes, and so they glue them on. Now, unlike my wife, I do not shave my legs, so I knew that when it was time to remove those things, it was I'd have a whole new appreciation for that waxing, leg waxing thing that ladies do. I'm sorry for you, by the way. Then they glue these electrodes on your chest. They put one on the back. They put one behind each ear. In your head, they put 4 on top of your head inside your hair. Then they stuck one with this tape thing right in the corner of my eye. That's to monitor in case you're twitching your eyes around or your eye movement is at night. Then they stick another one right in your forehead to see what's the matter with your brain, I assume. Then another one over this eye in case it's bouncing up and down or something. And then they put one right in the corner of my mouth. You know, you stick get a piece of duct tape and stick it there in the corner of your mouth. See how well you enjoy that. And that's to monitor, she told me, grinding your teeth. And then they stuck one. This is the one I hated the most. This one drove me crazy. They stuck it right in my neck, right here. You know, just won't go anywhere. So anyway, she's done this. Then there's these wires attached to them. So you've got these belts, these wires all coming out the back of your head this way, a big bundle. And I'm sitting in a chair just like this. And then she goes, now here's the annoying one. The annoying one. And you know those little tubes to get air, oxygen, that kind of come around that go in your nose? This, it's like that, but it's not soft like that. It's stiff because it's a monitor. It's not supplying air. It's just to measure your breathing in your mouth, and it's hard. And so they're putting this monitor in your nose. I'm just sitting there thinking, how is this in any way going to resemble a normal night's sleep for me? You're plugged in, you can't really move, you have to get assistance for everything. And they're going to be recording not a normal night's sleep, but really a nightmare for some people. That's the other thing, video. There's a camera right over the door looking at you all night long. Have you ever woken up and had someone staring at you when you open your eyes? A child, a dog, your spouse. I did that one when I woke up. Leslie's looking straight at me. What are you doing? She goes, I just wondered if staring at you would wake you up. And she's freaking me out. What is it you're doing while I'm sleeping? I'm getting a little nervous now. Being videoed, nothing promotes sleep like having someone watching you all night when you're sleeping. Oh, it's not just video, it's audio too, by the way. You can speak. I'd just lay there and I could just talk like this. I'd say, Maria. She goes, yes, Mr. Parsons. She's in another room somewhere, but she's every sound. So now I'm all conscientious about any sound that I might happen to make during the night. How are you going to go to sleep? I was laying there till 2 in the morning and I hadn't been to sleep yet. Oh, it was frustrating. You know, I think every single one of us is claustrophobic. I didn't before, but I do now. I can go through tunnels. I can climb in caves. Doesn't bother me. But you put all those things over. That's where I met my claustrophobia. You just want to rip the things off. Now, since I've had so much thinking about sleep this week, you get to think about it, too, for a few moments. Thinking about sleep. What causes a person to lose sleep besides banana peels and electrodes? Our physical problems, those interfere. The cares of this life certainly can choke off our ability to rest. When I was lying there in that sleep lab, I began praying up here, not out loud. I was complaining about not sleeping well. Saying, God, it's hurting me. You know, it's just, I haven't been sleeping well for a couple of years, and so it's starting to bother me. I have my work to do. I have a lot of people in my life that I care about, that I'm responsible for. There's bills to pay. There are broken things that need to be repaired. And it's hard enough to cover all those things without having to go through the day sleepy and tired on top of it. You've probably prayed the exact same prayer, so you know the rest of it. But in answer to that prayer, lying there with all those wires, a scripture came to mind, and I'd like to share that with you. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews 4, verse 14. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. For Christ can sympathize with our weaknesses, and he did. He experienced all the irritants that keep us up at night. He knew pain and discomfort and poverty. He knew rejection and loneliness and betrayal. He knew responsibility and labor and hunger. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I can safely say to all of you that you really don't know what you're doing at this time in your life. And the scriptures back me up with that. In Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, verses 16 and 17. It says, "When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labor on earth, his eyes not seeing sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. You might think that your life right now is just getting up and dressing and working and coming home and eating dinner and sleeping whenever you can, coming to church on the weekends and maybe being on a few committees, teaching a Sabbath school class. And then that's about it. And that in itself doesn't really amount to all that much. But if that's the way you're thinking, then you're missing the importance. You're missing the impact of what your life really is." I enjoyed a summary by Professor Lowell of Harvard University, who was talking about Christopher Columbus at a Columbus Day celebration. We don't have so many of those anymore. It's too bad. But he said this: "There are three profound things about Christopher Columbus's discovery of America. First of all, when he left Spain, he didn't know where he was going. Secondly, when he arrived in the New World, he didn't know where he was. Then thirdly, when he returned back to Ferdinand in his court, he didn't know where he had been. Until a thing has been played out and it can be looked at in retrospect, it's almost impossible to comprehend that thing unless God reveals it to you along the way, the importance of what it is you're doing, what's at stake. Your life is no different. Just like Columbus, you are out here in uncharted waters. You're in the midst of a great thing, but you don't comprehend its real significance now. You just really can't. These days, with your children, with your grandchildren, with this church family, you never get these days back. The work that you do today is impacting eternity. It's impacting the eternity of your children. And one day, in retrospect, these days will seem very significant indeed. And the only way to have peace in your life with that particular knowledge in your mind is to place your life, I mean really put your life in God's hands, your life and your death, everything about you in God's hands, and trust Him. Say, "Okay, Lord, I'm really going to trust You." And when you do that, then you can go anywhere. You can do anything and still sleep at night. I really love the Sea of Galilee story where Jesus and the disciples are out there on that boat. I get to go on a boat ride from Tiberias to Capernaum, and I'm excited about that. I know it's just a small thing. Tourists, hundreds of tourists probably do that every year, but it means something to me on that boat. Let's just look at that story together for a second. I know you know the story, you know the words, but let's just read them again together in Mark chapter 4. Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says there, "That day when evening came, He, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern. That's the back of the boat for some of you. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Sleeping on a cushion. That makes me want to take a nap. No, think about that. It's dangerous for a preacher to talk about napping in the middle of a sermon, but you know, you think about what a blessing sleep is. It's a wonderful thing. And here Jesus is out on the lake, and he's sleeping there on the cushion. And it appears that Jesus was anxious to get back to sleep by what happens here next, immediately after. Look at verse 39. He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" This is a sleepy person talking. "Quiet, be still. Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I bet he went back to sleep, rocking there on those gentle ripples of a Galilean evening on the lake. Sleep and rest are such a blessing. Psalm 127 verse 2 says, "For he, God, grants sleep to those he loves." The Sabbath is married to rest. It's about rest. To rest in Christ. What a precious thing. To put your burdens in Christ's hands. Your guilt, your sin, your responsibilities, your dreams, to put them really in God's hands and to trust him. I'd like to leave you with these words. Words that were penned by David on this subject. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. He said, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the rest that we know you want us to have. The peace in our life, the peace in our homes, our families, our marriages, peace with our children, peace with our neighbors. Lord, there's just no human way to do that. It seems like the human way is nothing but strife and contention and worry and anxiety. So, Father, we come here right now, this moment. We want to lay ourselves in your hands so that we can have peace, that we can actually rest, knowing that you love us. And whether the sun is bright or whether the moon is up, we know that we're safe. We're safe for eternity with you, come what may. Lord, thank you for that assurance, that promise you make to us, that gives us that peace. In Jesus' name, amen.